Amen. Welcome, welcome tonight, and thank you so much for joining us again for our time of ministry in the Word of God. We're excited again to have another opportunity to be in the presence of God and to enjoy His presence and everything that He has made available to us. I trust God that you're having a blessed week. And that all is well with you and your family, your loved ones. I know that the Lord is keeping us, and the Lord has been faithful to us, and the Lord will continue to fulfill His word in our lives through this season and even beyond, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want us to go into the Word of God early tonight without too many preambles. You know how it goes a lot of times. I get started and before you know it, I take a look at my timer. It's time to stop. So I want to beat that timer tonight, and I want to trust God to help us cover a lot of good ground, just whatever it is that He has ordained for us to receive from His presence. So please bow your heads with me and let's have a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for this time, this season, this moment that you've given to us. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to come around the word of God with the saints. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters, everyone that is joining us online tonight, wherever they are joining us, whatever platform. Some of us are on the prayer conference line, and others are on the social media, FaceTube, Facebook Live, and YouTube. And we thank you, Father, because regardless of where we are, there is no distance in the Spirit. Your mighty hands are upon us. Your presence is with us. We know that before we came here, before we arrived, your presence was already here. So I know that the Holy Spirit has already orchestrated things. He's prepared things for us, and we're really excited to get into it. So open our hearts and open our eyes and help us see and help us hear and help us understand and grant us grace, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. I bless you because we would give you all the glory and all the praise when this is over tonight. Our lives would have stepped up higher to a different place from when we started this service. I give you the glory and I give you the praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Welcome again, and thank you so much for joining us. I do believe that you can hear me very clearly. So let's get into the Word of God. Like I said earlier, I want to go into it really early. I want to thank you again for joining us wherever, whatever platform you are joining us on our teleconference line, Facebook Live, YouTube, and those that would listen to the teaching afterwards. It's always a blessing to go back and listen to the teaching afterwards. So, welcome, and let's get into the word. I want to go straight to the book of Philippians, where we were last week, and I want to spend a lot of good time tonight, just give this entire service tonight to completing what we started last time, talking about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know all the preambles about why that is so important, that his identity and his authority and everything that the name of Jesus connotes and that the name of Jesus carries is an offshoot of his character, his nature. And as believers, when we take on that nature and when we take on that character, it is mandatory. There's no questioning it. There's no doubt about it that everything that his identity expresses and everything that his authority mandates will be manifested through our lives. So I want to trust God tonight that we can spend a lot of good time just in this one last service really delving and diving into the different things that we started talking about, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things underneath the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, beloved," he goes on in verse 12, he says, "as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, so that you might be blameless and harmless, the sons and daughters of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light in the world." If you just look there at the build-up and the immediate focus of Apostle Paul in writing this letter to the Philippian church, you see right from the very beginning of the chapter to the very end of it, he has a context. And you can see right here immediately, his context was what he was trying to drive home to the believers, what he wanted them to make a priority. Now, somewhere in the midst of his dialogue, he talks about, you know, what Jesus has been conferred with, the name and the authority and the identity that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of that. But you can see right from the beginning, actually, if you back up a little bit and you start out from verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, it says, "If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now, let me read verse 3 first. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." And then he says in verse 4, "Look not on every man his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And then in verse 5, he says again, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." If you just take account of how many times he refers to the mind, it is absolutely amazing in this passage of scripture how many times he actually talks about the mind. It's very, very amazing to me that we're not born one way or another. We're not born great, born anointed, born proud, humble, selfish, selfless. No, but we actually take on all of those things through the element of our minds. So you notice when he begins to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, after he says, "Let this mind also be in you," in fact, the first thing he refers to about Christ is his mind. And you see that in verse 6. So after he says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus," in verse 6 he says, "Who being in the form of God, thought Where do thoughts arise in the mind? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. You would see later on why I'm starting out with that emphasis. Because I don't just want us to delve into this. I also want us to get help. I also want us to not just talk about, yes, this is what the Lord was. This is what God has prepared for us. This is what he wants us to be. But I also want us to get help in terms of how can we take our next steps in that direction? How can we actually be that? And so many times we hear different teachings and messages on the power of humility, the grace that flows when we're humble. In fact, last week I remember saying one of the statements I made last week was the spirit of meekness and humility is the gateway to the fullness of the covenant, right? You remember I said that last week if you joined us. I also said the spirit of meekness and humility is the gateway to the fullest blessings of the covenant. To the fullest blessings of the covenant. That is so true. The spirit of meekness and humility is the gateway to the fullest blessings of the covenant. The name of Jesus and all that the name of Jesus carries, we actually access first through his character. Now, the different aspects of his character that we identified yesterday was, number one, his humility, his meekness, his faithfulness, and his excellence. And we said all of these three actually work together. I believe it was in the Psalms, and I don't want to go back there and read the 8th Psalm because I've read it for two different services in a row now. But it was in the Psalms that we read last week, and the Bible says, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." And then it goes on and talks about the different things that that excellence conferred upon man. And I did take some time last week to talk about the spirit of excellence. How if we're going to be followers of Christ and we're going to enjoy the benefits and the blessings that accompany our salvation, we have to be excellent-minded people. We have to be people who operate in the spirit of excellence. It is the spirit of excellence that puts us in position to be promoted. And the Bible says promotion does not come from the south, the west, the east, but it's the Lord. And I think that's Psalm 75. What is it that qualifies us to be promoted? It's the spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence puts us in position to be promoted by the Lord. Amen. And you look in the Old Testament and you look in the New Testament, the people who were put in position, think about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel, where the Bible says he had a spirit of excellence. And because of that, he was promoted. The spirit of excellence operated very clearly in the life of Jesus. And if we are going to enjoy the blessings of the power in the name of Jesus, if we're going to enjoy the blessings of the covenant, then his character, beginning with the spirit of excellence, must be in full operation in our lives. And of course, we defined that last week. Excellence is being at your best in everything that you do. Not doing just enough to get by. Not doing just enough just to check the box that, yeah, I did what was asked of me. I did. No. But to actually go, that's the word excellence means to go beyond. That's what the word excel from the original root word excel means, to go above and beyond, right? So if, for instance, we're required, if, for instance, we hear, oh, you know, just pray 5 minutes every day. That's good. That's a good start. That may be a good start, but as someone who wants to grow in excellence, then we start challenging ourselves. Okay, how can I go beyond praying for 5 minutes every day? Can I maybe pray for 10 minutes more, maybe 15 minutes more? If somebody says, well, just study, you know, your Bible, daily Bible reading, just read a couple of verses of the scripture every day. That's a good start. Yeah, that is a good start. But the spirit of excellence says, how can I excel in that? How can I go beyond? Well, maybe instead of reading a couple of verses, maybe read half of a chapter every day. Or maybe even better yet, read a whole chapter. Amen. If something is required of us, whether it's in our spiritual lives or in our natural lives, in our secular lives, making up our minds to excel, to go beyond, is operating in the spirit of excellence. So all those things that I talked about last week, shoddiness is not allowable. Sloppiness, no, zero tolerance for sloppiness. Tardiness, that's lateness to everything you do, or a lot of things you do. You can have a meeting, I don't care if it's a spiritual meeting in church or meeting at work, and you are always the last person to get there. That is not the spirit of excellence. Think about it for a minute. Jesus would not have called a meeting for 8 p.m. and then he'll get in there by 8:15. That's not the Lord. He wouldn't do that. So the spirit of excellence, and that operated in the life of Christ. All right, that's great. But we also talked about his faithfulness, and we also talked about his meekness. So let's take a couple of minutes, because I want to be able to get somewhere tonight where I can actually give us a few helpful things that can help us move and grow in the direction of developing in the spirit of meekness. Now, something else that really blessed me, that really ministered to me recently, as long as I've been reading the scriptures, and I'm sure you have this same experience from time to time. Sometimes you're reading the word, or you're studying, you are meditating, you're praying, and it's like something just explodes in your spirit. It's like an explosive revelation in an aspect of the word of God that maybe you've read hundreds of times, but you've just never seen that. And I had that kind of experience not too long ago, where I found out that all these different aspects of the character of Christ that we talk about actually are interconnected. And it is impossible for you to have one and not have the other. It is also impossible for you to be growing in one and not be growing in the other. So, for instance, we talk about meekness, and we talk about excellence, and we talk about faithfulness. It is actually impossible for us to be growing in the spirit of meekness and at the same time not be growing in the spirit of faithfulness and the spirit of excellence, because the three of them are interwoven together. And you see that in just a minute when we read from the Hebrews. All right. So, but for a minute here, let's talk about his faithfulness. And I know I alluded to this some in our last teaching, but I just want to read a couple of scriptures that actually bring this out really strong. And so why don't we let's go right on. Let's go straight up there to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, and I want us to go to chapter 2 in the book of Hebrews. You remember that when the Bible was put together, chapters and verses were created for ease, for convenience, for, you know, ease of reading, ease of comprehension. But the scriptures were not put together in chapters and verses. So the scriptures flow from one into the other. And I just want you to see a couple of scriptures here that have been a blessing to me in talking about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's read in Hebrews chapter 2. And let's read from verse 17. It says, therefore, in all things it behoved him, talking about Christ, to be made like unto his brethren, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So Jesus is our merciful and our faithful high priest. But he doesn't stop there. He says in verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are being tempted. So that means he is able to run to the aid and help us in our times of need, in our times of our helplessness, and he provides the help that we need. But this flows, the end of chapter 2 flows right on into the beginning of chapter 3. So let's keep on reading. Chapter 3, verse 1, the book of Hebrews, it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful." He was faithful. You see that again. First, he called him our merciful and our faithful high priest at the end of chapter 2 of Hebrews. And when we get into the beginning of chapter 3 of Hebrews, he tells us Christ Jesus was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So immediately there, he gives us a comparison, an analogy from the life of Christ and the life of Moses, tying them together. One of the very interesting things about the two lives and this analogy is you're going to find out that all these different characters, these three major characters that we've talked about the life of Christ, about Jesus Christ himself, were actually found in the man Moses. So in this scripture, he tells us the first one, he says, just like Jesus was faithful, Moses was also faithful. But you know, it's interesting because when you read in the Old Testament, I hope I can get to that scripture tonight. It also tells us in Numbers chapter 12, Moses was the man who was meek above every other man, every other person on earth. He was the meekest man who lived. And of course, you know, Moses by himself wrote the entire Pentateuch. All of the beginning parts, what the many times the Bible refers to as the law, the beginning parts of the Bible, the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy, were written, put together, and compiled by the work of Moses. So Moses was a man of excellence. You see that even in his dealings. So these three characters, or this aspect, three aspects of the character of Christ were actually also exhibited in Moses. And it's very fascinating to me that in each of them, these aspects of their character were actually interwoven. That because Jesus was meek, he was also faithful and he was also excellent. Because Moses was meek, he was also faithful and he was also excellent. And on like that. And you can switch that order around and it's always the same thing. You think about it for a minute. When you find people who are faithful, they're usually people who are meek. When you find people who are meek and humble, they are usually people who have a spirit of excellence about them. You know why? Because the reason we're faithful, the reason we're meek, is because we want to be pleasing to God. It's because we want to give him our best. It's not because it's the easiest thing. Like I said last week, part of the manifestation of the faithfulness of Jesus was when he went to the cross. Well, let's finish reading this, and then I'm gonna mention that before I move on to his meekness, because I want to spend most of my time. So again, I'm watching that time, that clock, and as soon as it hits a particular point, I'm gonna give all of my time to just discussing meekness tonight, so I can get as much as possible in before we close out this particular service. Amen. So think about that for a minute. The fact that all of those three different aspects of the character of Jesus were actually interwoven. And in each of our lives, the more we grow in one, the more we are actually growing in other. And you would not be wrong to say, if we lack in one, we must lack in the other. It is very difficult to lack in faithfulness, but to have excellence. It's just almost impossible. It's very difficult to lack in meekness and then be a faithful person. No, it's just very difficult, because the fundamental thing that produces those virtues in us are tied to one another. So look here back. Let's go back here in the scripture. I don't want to talk forever. go back there to the book of Hebrews. He says, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Look at verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken thereafter. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? I want you to see how the Bible actually, how the Word of God actually interweaves these three different aspects of the character of Jesus. How he shows their interconnectedness. And you would see as we go along why I am making a point of really emphasizing that. That if you are committed to growing in one, in meekness, in faithfulness, in excellence, you are automatically going to be growing in the other. Now, I like something that I mentioned earlier on, and I'm going to revert to it now, and I'm going to revert to it later on as well. That all of those things, every aspect of the character of Jesus actually begins from the mind. Begins from the mind. It began from his mind, and it begins from our minds. Remember, I said at the beginning, none of us is born unfaithful. None of us is born average, mediocre. No, because there is no average in heaven. There is no mediocrity in heaven. There is no pride in heaven. Remember, pride was the reason Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, because he started lifting up his head and he started lifting up his mind, his image, his ego, and says, hey, you know, I think I can do everything God does. You know, the Bible said pride was found in him and God kicked him out. So there is no baby that is sent from heaven that comes into this earth with any of those things. However, we pick them up first through our minds, and then those things become a part of our lives. Any of those virtues. Again, sorry, any of those negative character traits. And so the reason it is important to highlight that and talk about that now, because I'm going to talk about it again as I get ready to close later on, is when we commit to making a change, that commitment must make us take steps first with our minds. In every family, in every community, there is inborn selfishness. Inborn. Because we all picked it up on our journey. Little children in the families, in the homes where they are raised, they see traits of selfishness. They see traits of self-centeredness. And they see traits of people promoting and pushing themselves and their interests over the interests of others. And they pick that up. And they begin to become like that. And then in the world, as they interact, they go to school, they interact with people who are also raised in different parts of the society with the same negative traits. The more they interact with those places, with those people in those spheres, the more those negative traits grow in their lives. It comes to a point where their minds become fixed in those directions. The lack of meekness, lack of faithfulness, lack of excellence, a lot of times is picked up through our journey. And so the way we get those things eradicated, the way we get them eventually run out of our lives so that we can become more and more like Jesus it's a work that begins in our minds. It begins in our mind. You see there in that scripture in Philippians where it says, Jesus thought it not robbery. He thought it not robbery. He began in his thinking. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. What you think and how you think eventually makes who you are. If you think lowly, you ultimately become lowly. If you think godly, you ultimately become godly. If you think excellent, you ultimately become excellent. If you think righteous, you ultimately become righteous. Even while you are going on your journey and developing in those virtues, and so many times tripping up and getting up again, tripping, getting up again, you will ultimately become righteous. And in a lot of times, things that people say, I need deliverance from, yeah, it is possible that because of years and years of practicing a particular thing, a stronghold develops in a mind, or a stronghold develops in a life, where that person, beyond just taking steps of renewal in the mind, might need to be prayed for, where yokes are destroyed. And there are cases like that. And certainly, that is easy to be understood. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says the yoke is destroyed by reason of the anointing. We know that the chains and the yokes and the chains of the devil can be broken off of our lives by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But even when that happens, after that happens, then we now need to get on a new journey, like we were a baby again. Right? Before we picked up all of this negativity from our society, our community, the world, our families and things, we now need to start growing in those traits again. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is so good. So the faithfulness of Jesus, there you go. I've only been able to read one of those scriptures. But because I don't have the time and I'm not going to be able to come back to this later, Mark chapter 14, 33 to 36. You see the faithfulness of Jesus there, where he was praying, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. Because it was not easy for him to go to the cross. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was getting ready to go to the cross. And he found himself saying to the Lord, Lord, I know I committed to doing this, but I don't know. I know I was going to show you this scripture, which you probably already know, in the Psalms. Psalm 15, you know that psalm where it talks about who can go up to the mountain of the Lord? Look there and see an aspect of faithfulness that is reflected in that psalm. Who would abide in your tabernacle? Psalm 15, it says, who would dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, who walks righteousness. If you go all the way down to verse 4, it says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and changes not. Right there in the Amplified, it says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Well, that's the definition of faithfulness. That is, even when it becomes difficult, but because you made that commitment, you follow through. And that's what we saw Jesus dealing with in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was getting ready to go to the cross. And he was praying that prayer, Father, if it be possible with you, take this cup away from me, but not as I will, but let your will be done. And then, of course, his last prayer, let's look at that. His last prayer in the gospel, you remember that prayer? His last prayer in the gospel of John, where the Bible describes how Jesus pressed into the presence of God, talking about how he had done everything that the Lord assigned him, right? Look at verse 4. He says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, O Father, you glorify me with your own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. He goes on and on. That prayer is essentially, he started that prayer talking, telling the Father, not that the Father forgot, but presenting that to the Father, Lord, I have done what you sent me. So we see different aspects of the faithfulness of Jesus. Now, let's go on and talk a little bit about his meekness, the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So go back there with me to Philippians chapter 2. forgive me that I'm rushing a little bit. If I find out that I absolutely can't finish everything that I planned for this service, then I'll shelve some of it and move it to another meeting. But it was really my heart to get as far as possible in talking about the character of the Lord today and finishing that off so that we can go on. I really want to go on and talk about a few other things about the name of Jesus and why that name is so powerful where our covenant is concerned. Remember that all of this began from us talking about our covenant is our defense. We're basically trying to delve in further and learn more and more. And for many of us, many of you watching today, many of the things that we're sharing in these teachings may not necessarily be new to you. You probably know them better than those of us that are ministering it, teaching it. But it's also a blessing that we can be reminded about them. So if I can't get to finish tonight, I know I'm beginning to struggle slowly with my time. But if I can't finish it tonight, I trust God, then I'm probably going to touch on it a little bit before I go into the other things that I really had in mind to talk about the name of Jesus and the power and the authority in that name. But let's go back here and read from Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read this from verse 5 in the Amplified. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. See that? In the Amplified Bible there in verse 5, it says, let this same attitude, purpose, and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. And even if I skip some of the other things that I plan to talk about tonight, and so that I can get to how we can grow in the spirit of meekness, right there up front, I want you to look at those three words that are highlighted: attitude, purpose, mind. And when you talk about mind, you're talking about thinking and you're talking about thoughts. Think about that again. Attitude, purpose, mind. Every time you think about or you desire to grow in any particular aspect of your life, anytime you make a commitment, like the Holy Spirit maybe deals with you over something or on something, and you want to grow and change in that area of your life, these are the three ways in which that change is going to happen: attitude, purpose, mind. Mind involves the thinking and the thoughts, the processes of thinking and the thoughts that we have. So you want to, the Lord deals with you about walking in obedience, the power of walking in obedience. And it's an area that you've really struggled in your past. And you come to a place where you know the Holy Spirit is saying to you, son, daughter, you've got to make changes in this area or you are not going to be able to get to the next level that I have for you. In order to make those changes, see, if it was just by snapping our fingers and we're suddenly obedient when we used to be disobedient, I'm sure everybody will make that switch. And it happens just as quick as that. It's just that as quickly as we snap our fingers, those three things also must be addressed immediately: our attitude, our purpose, our minds. For every little thing that the Lord calls us, or we see in the Word, or we hear about, and we know, oh, you know what, I've got to change. Like if you are someone who procrastinates a lot, you have a lot of plans and a lot of things that you know need to be done, but you keep putting it off. Yeah, you know, I'll do it by 5 o'clock. I'll do it by 5 p.m. 5 o'clock comes, you know what, I think I'll do it by 7:30. 7:30 comes, I think I do by 10. 10 comes, you know what, I think I'll do it tomorrow. First thing in the morning. Well, first thing in the morning comes, oh boy, okay, by noon. So That's real problem with procrastination there. And there could be a lot of other things like slothfulness, laziness, like not being diligent, or even what we were talking about earlier, being average, unfaithful, or pride. Maybe you find yourself dealing with pride, your selfishness and self-centeredness, ungodly, a lot of ungodly ambitions, and things that you constantly find yourself, these are not things you want to do. These are not things, this is not how you want to be, but you constantly find out that that's how you are. Or some of the other things that we deal with in all of our different lives, right? If we're going to make those changes, three places where those changes must happen. Number one, attitude. Number two, purpose. Number three, mind. So go back to the first example I used, obedience. You know you struggle with disobedience. And you know the instructions you got, and you know you were supposed to follow through. But at some point, your flesh comes there and you struggle, and then you disobey the instruction. Well, the first thing that needs to happen is you need to address your attitude, your purpose, your mind. And in your mind, you're thinking the way you think, thinking process, and the thoughts that are predominant in your mind. And you have to make changes across the board in those three different areas. You might have to look at your attitude and say, okay, what is it about my attitude that makes me more predisposed to being disobedient than being obedient? And when you start asking yourself those point blank questions, you find the answer. You may find out, oh yeah, there's this attitude of whatever, whatever, that makes it easier for you to want to be disobedient than to be obedient. All right, I've got to change that attitude. And so you put that attitude up there, and you put it up for change. And purpose, all right, there's something about my purpose, why a lot of times, instead of being obedient, I'm being disobedient. Okay, I've got to address my purpose, my thinking. Forgive me for dwelling here, as unexciting as it may be, but you know, our goal is to grow, right? The Word of God helps us grow. Our goal is to become renewed, is to become more and more like Jesus. And so when you pull out your toolbox and you decide you need to fix something, guess what? Just having that toolbox is not good enough. You've got to go in that toolbox and say, okay, what do I need here? A spanner? Do I need a plier? Do I need a screwdriver? What do I really need to get this fixed? And that's the way the Word of God is. It's not enough to just say, yeah, I'm in the Word. I was in the Word. I attended Bible study. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, that message was so good. That teaching, it was for me. I was so blessed. Well, yeah, praise God. It was blessed. Yeah, it was for you. You were blessed. But which of those tools in there did you take that you found out you needed? Right? And so when we talk about growing in the spirit of meekness, these are some of the things that are extremely important. All right, let's come back here. It says there, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Well, so let me start from the beginning of verse 5 again. This is an amplified. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think. Look at that. Did not think. Here we go again with the mind, with the thinking, with the thought. Did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. What did he do though? He stripped himself of all privileges. Do you know how difficult that is? Do you know how difficult that is? Strip yourself of all privileges. I don't want to take time. My time is gone. But boy, I wish I could spend some time there. Do you know this is one of the areas we all struggle with? To strip ourselves of our privileges in our communities, our experiences of life, and to let things go when we really, really want to prove our point, make our point, or get back, or hit somebody back, or you know how this works. But Jesus stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, not that these things were wrong, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after that, he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. And all of that constituted the meek and the humble character that the Lord Jesus Christ exhibited in his earthly walk. He stripped himself. Look at some of the things. Let me actually list them here. I think I have like five different ones. So let me give you these 5 points here. Number one, he stripped himself, meaning he emptied himself of his privileges. Number two, he became a servant. He decided, okay, I'm not going to lord over you. I'm not going to lord it over you. I'm not going to seek to rule over you. I'm not going to seek to be the one that has the advantage over you. I'm going to make myself your servant. He became a servant. He abased and humbled himself. Abased. That means he made himself lower than he actually was. Abased himself. Humbled himself. Number four, he became obedient to the extreme. I like that. He became obedient to the extreme. And number five, stooped so low. You know what it means to stoop? I'm on camera, so I can get out of my studio set here. But you know what it means to stoop? Is to go down. To stoop means to go down. To stoop doesn't mean to rise up. To stoop low, that's why I say stoop low. He went down. You saw great examples of how he stooped low. He took his towel, took the basin of water, started washing the feet of the disciples. He had to stoop low to do that. And he took their feet to wash them. Whatever that was, he decided to put his dignity aside. Do you know what that must have taken from the Lord? All of this was the display of the spirit of meekness. The spirit of meekness. Now, you've heard me saying that word over and over again, the spirit of meekness. I got to rush here because my time is almost going. But I want to show you this. Do you know, I didn't coin that word. That word is in the Bible, the spirit of meekness. If you are, I want you to read with me in Galatians chapter 5. And here in Galatians chapter 5, I want us to read together, especially one verse here, verse 13. And then we're going to go down and read the fruit of the Spirit, right? I just want you to say, and I'm going to then lead you to Galatians chapter 6, because we're talking about meekness. I want to show you this before I run out of time tonight. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, look at what it says. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. By love, serve one another. I'm going to read that to you in the Amplified Bible. It says, for you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. For selfishness. He says, but through love, you should serve one another. This is very, very important. I want to move along real quickly. But do you know how powerful that is? That We've been made free in Christ. The liberty we have that Jesus gave to us, it's a liberty that has released us from every trapping, from every bondage, from every limitation of our physical human lives. But then he says, but don't use that as an excuse to serve yourself. No, use that as an excuse to serve other people. He's talking about the spirit of meekness. He says, by love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. And then, of course, you know, all the way down here in verse 22, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. Meekness. Now, I told you earlier when we read in the book of Hebrews, the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verses. It was written one and just for convenience, it was broken up. Now, chapter 5 of Galatians flows into chapter 6 of Galatians. The people who put it together broke it up. But it's one flow, right? So he is talking here about, you know, dying to the flesh and the aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And then talks about meekness and gentleness and all of those other things. But then he goes all the way here. Look at the end of chapter 5. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not be desirous. The Amplifier says, let us not become vainglorious, listen, self-conceited, competitive, and challenging, and provoking, and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. Look at that. Let's not become vainglorious, self-conceited, competitive, challenging one another, provoking one another, irritating one another. Well, I wonder how we can be that. Because that's what the world in which we live in challenges us and encourages us to do and lures us to do. How can we not be competitive? How can we not be vainglorious and self-conceited and self-centered and selfish? And not want to grab for ourselves. Just look at this pandemic. And just think about when this first started. Here goes my time. Help me, Lord. Think about when this first started and the news first went out and they started talking about, you know, we have to ration. And do you know, most people went out to stores and just bought and cleared. And you may have heard, because this actually happened to us, we started looking for rice. We suddenly found out we didn't have rice. And everywhere we went, rice was gone. We started calling. We called, we looked everywhere, looked in different, you know, multiple states. And we called our daughter and said, hey, look where you are. See if you can find rice. You know, we're looking for rice. All the rice had been bought. Thank God. Someone, I think, eventually helped us find rice. But you heard the stories. Toilet paper, hand sanitizer, all this. But you know why? Because most people who went to stores to buy those things didn't buy what they thought they needed for a week or two. They bought, and many of them cleared. They cleared. So there's that human tendency for us to want to grab and grab and grab for our own self-preservation. Is it wrong to take care of ourselves and take care of our families, take care of our needs? No, it's not wrong. But what is wrong is that element of fear that the enemy introduces, where he then makes us not just want to take care of ourselves, but he actually makes us want to overcompensate at the expense of other people, and we don't care about it. We don't care about it. And that's that element of it. But the Bible says, don't be like that. Well, how can we not be like that? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The spirit of meekness. Of course, you can imagine my struggle. Time is going to fail me to do any kind of expounding on that. But right there, you see it. The answer to that, the answer to the self-conceit, the answer to the self-centeredness, the answer to the selfishness, the answer to vainglory, all of that stuff is the spirit of meekness. Okay, how do we grow in meekness? Let me just throw those points out to you. I'll come back to them. Thank you, Lord. I'll come back to them. I'll have time next time. Amen. All right. How do we grow in the spirit of meekness? We've already read Philippians chapter 2, and I've told you these three major things: attitude, purpose, mind. Now, there are four things that help us grow in the spirit of meekness, and they all have to do with those three major things: our attitude, our purpose, our mind. But I want you to notice all of this is resident in the mind. Your attitude, your purpose, your thoughts, your thinking. So, if we want to grow in meekness, and remember what I said earlier, if you want to grow, if you are growing in one, you are growing in the other. You can't grow in meekness and not grow in faithfulness, because they are both built on the same foundation of life, or the foundation of the Word of God. You can't grow in meekness and not grow in excellence, or grow in faithfulness and not grow in excellence. They all work hand in hand. They are all built on the same bedrock, the foundation of the Word of God. So how do we grow? Number one, we have to renew our mind and change our thinking in this area. We have to renew our mind and change our thinking in this area. That is, we may have grown up thinking it's okay to be that way, but the Bible is telling us, no, it is not. And we may have been, depending on what our experiences were, things may have happened in our lives that made us decide, I'm just going to defend myself. I'm just going to protect myself. I'm going to preserve. But the Bible says, no, that is not okay. That is, we can't have the best of God living that way. So first, let me just throw this out to you, and then I trust God, I'll come back to it. We need to renew our mind and change our thinking in this area. Number two, we must put pressure on ourselves to accept and believe that this is God's standard. What we're talking about tonight is God's standard. It's not just out there. The Word of God is not just saying it, just for saying it's sake. No, this is God's standard. See, that affects your attitude, it affects your purpose, and it affects the thoughts that become the prevailing thoughts in your mind. The day I found out that being excellent was God's standard, I no longer could make excuses for mediocrity. See, I'm not there yet, and I keep growing, and I keep growing, and I keep growing, but every time I trip up in the place of my growth in excellence, in the spirit of excellence, there's something already set in my mind that God's standard is excellence. There's no room for mediocrity. I cannot make excuses for mediocrity. And, you know, because of that thinking, because that thing is etched into every part of me, there are sometimes when I don't want to get up to do something, or there are sometimes when I actually feel like doing something else, and immediately those thoughts come, this is God's standard to be excellent. And so our thinking, believing and accepting that this is God's standard. Number three, make yourself do it. Create exercises and train yourself to put others before yourself, and make conscious effort to serve other people in love. Make a conscious effort to serve other people in love. Make yourself do it. That is, you are not going to do it naturally, but make yourself do it. Create exercises and train yourself to put others before yourself, and make a conscious effort to make yourself serve other people in love. Finally, number four, remind yourself constantly. You are not doing this to be pleasing to people. You are not doing this because people deserve this or they deserve otherwise. You are doing this to be pleasing to God. You are doing all of that because you want to meet up to God's standard. Once all of that is set in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, it becomes easy then to get on that journey of growing in meekness, growing in faithfulness, growing in excellence. Glory be to God. I hope you got something tonight. Time has run out on us again, as it always does. I thought this wasn't going to happen tonight. For sure, I was convinced this would not happen tonight. I'm well planned with this, and I'm going to finish this tonight, but here we go. But praise God, the most important thing is that we receive God's word and trust Him, that we have understanding, and that we're going to grow in these areas. We're going to put some of these things to work. We're going to go back and study some of them again by ourselves so that we can keep growing. The more we grow, the more pleasing we are to the Lord, and the more the power and the authority and the identity in the name of Jesus becomes manifest in our lives. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Let's share a word of prayer as we close. Father, I thank you, Lord, for my beloved brethren. I thank you again for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you, God, for this service that you blessed us with tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that we felt right here in this studio on the airwaves. Thank you, Father, for the power of the Word of God as it has walked through our lives, our minds, our spirit, our attitude, our purpose, our thinking. Thank you, God, for beginning to create a new image within us, beginning to create a new character, a new nature. Thank you, Father, for forming us and fashioning us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. I give you praise tonight, and I pray the blessing of God upon your people. I pray the anointing and the favor of God break and destroy every yoke. Release everyone that is trapped in any form of self-deception. I call your people blessed tonight. I call you blessed in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.